love this season, don't we? We just love this Christmas season. It's so beautiful. And there's a song that goes, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." And that's true, right? For all of us, we love this time of the year for different reasons. Maybe some of us just love the atmosphere of Christmas. And, you know, you're driving and it's just traffic everywhere. You know, that atmosphere, something special is going on. I'm pretty excited. Maybe you're shopping at the mall and there's music playing in the background. And that festivity. And some of us, for us, it's the, you know, gift shopping and giving. And some of it, it's the family get together. This time for people to come back. You know, all these guys are back and come back. Family reunion. And with that comes with good food, right? Which we all love. I just came across an interesting finding that because of the amount, large amount of food that we consume during this time, research indicates the average person living in the United States, that's all of us, gains about 2 pounds during this season. Some of you are like, oops, that's it. I got it. Yeah. So my prayer is that, you know, just during this beautiful, meaningful season, that we would, instead of feasting on all these physical things, which is okay, that God would help us to feast on the true meaning of Christmas. So that God would feed our soul, right? That God would feed our soul and really celebrate this season the way that He wants us to. And I entitled today's message, "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." And it's not misspelled, right? It's not misspelled. I'm talking about Mary. Talking about Mary, and I'm going to look at Christmas from Mary's perspective. And the passage we read, it's the same passage, except it's from Joseph's perspective. And let's look at Mary's perspective from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. So may I invite you to read the Word of God together, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel. 'Since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, what does God want us to keep in mind during this very special, meaningful season? Number one, and if you would write this down in your outline. Number one, Christmas reminds us that God's grace finds us where we are. God's grace finds us where we are. Look at verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee." Now, we just have to stop right there, and we don't want to take that for granted. For someone who knows the background, the historical background, and the geographic location
of Jerusalem, this sentence here does not make sense to them. It says to where? Right? Nazareth? It doesn't make sense to them. See, here it tells us an angel of the Lord, and not just any angel, right? But to who? Who was sent to Mary? Gabriel. It is said that of all the thousands and thousands of angels, there are only two angels that had names. Gabriel, one of them. This must be important, right? God has important news through Gabriel. To where? To where? Tell me where.
Nazareth.
Nazareth? Why? Galilee. Huh? That doesn't make sense. It would be like me making a grand announcement. Guys, guess what? Guess what? Jesus Christ is coming to the Northwest. And all of us, right, living in this Seattle metro, yeah, Jesus is coming. But wait. Jesus is coming to Woodinville, huh? Right, anything with a ville. Jack lives in Woodinville. Anything with a ville, like Marysville, huh? Or even worse, Duval, or something like that. Why? That doesn't... Anything important's got to happen in where? Tell me where.
Downtown Seattle.
Downtown Seattle. Okay, no, I'm talking about the Bible here. Anything important, downtown Seattle. Space Needle. Yes. Anything important's got to happen in where? Tell me.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, that's where the action, everything important's got to happen in Jerusalem. Nazareth? Right? Galilee? Just 70, 80 miles away from Jerusalem. It doesn't make sense to a virgin named Mary. Mary. Who was Mary? Commentaries tell us that Mary was probably only around 16 years old. 16 years old. Let me see who's 16 here. 16 years old. And some commentaries even said, no, even younger. It's got to be even younger. Maybe the age of 13. So here was Mary, all right, who's 13. Anybody 13? Okay. You're old. Oh, this is a little girl. 13 years old. So cute. Okay. So here's Mary, right? Mary, uneducated, right? So young and just lowly, humble, in a very obscure and insignificant village. And God's word, God's message, God's grace came to her. Now, do you see how so far Mary did not do a thing, right? Mary did not do a thing. She did not do anything, but it was all God. God was taking all the initiative. God sent an angel, and God sent a message, and it was all God. God taking all the initiative. And I love the idea that God was pursuing us, right? That God came to us. And that's the message, really, of Christmas. Look at this verse, John chapter 1, verses 14. Let's read together. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word, Jesus. We did not deserve it. We weren't looking for it. But God came to us to meet us where we are. See, God's grace found us. God's grace found us. We're here today. And even here at church today. And we are, many of us have believed in Jesus. We're here where we're at today, not because we found God, but because God found us. Sometimes when we give the testimony and we say, yeah, I was this and I was that, I was bad and all that, I was rebellion, but I found Jesus. No, that's not true. It was God. It was God who took the initiative, who opened the eyes of our heart, who enlightened us. Even when the Bible says, when we were dead in our sins, God's grace found us. And that's why we rejoice. And that's why we celebrate and we give thanks during this season of Christmas, because God came to be with us. God's grace found us where we are. Number two, Christmas reminds us that our hope is found in Jesus alone. Our hope is found in Jesus alone. Look at verses 31 to 33. Here the angel Gabriel, he said, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. See, right here, the angel Gabriel started to tell Mary about this fulfillment of prophecy. This has been prophesied, right? Hundreds and hundreds of years ago that this had been prophesied. Someone would come. God would send a king to rally his people together and bring God's people back to him. And his name would be called Jesus. And Jesus simply means God saves. Yahweh saves. Save us from our sins. Save us from our hopelessness. Jesus. That's why we celebrate Jesus. The message of Jesus Christ, salvation, reconciliation between us and God through Jesus Christ. That's the message of Christmas. Jesus is the one we worship. Jesus is the one, the source of our hope. You know, speaking of Mary, we're talking about Mary today. Speaking of Mary, the mother of Jesus, some people worship Mary, right? You know people like that? They worship Mary. They worship Mary. Now, some translations, they translate it in a different way from the Bible, which I'm sure some of you have heard. It says this, Hail Mary, full of what? Grace. That's translated from the Bible. Hail Mary, full of grace. But that's a poor translation of the Bible. It should be Mary, not full of grace. Mary was not full of grace. Mary was blessed with God's grace. You see the difference? Mary was given grace by God. And Mary was just like you and I, a sinner. In fact, we see Mary saying this, verses 46 to 47. This is Mary's words. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, who? My Savior. Sinners do not need a Savior. Mary was worthy of our respect, but she was no Savior. You say, well, what's the big deal? Why are you putting down Mary? Why are you minimizing Mary? We're not minimizing Mary, but we just don't want the false elevation of Mary to minimize who? Jesus, right? So, which is the true meaning of Christmas? Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verses 8 to 11. What is the good news that God wants us to hear? That the angels brought to the shepherds. Verse 8. Let's read together here. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. See, the good news. What is the gospel? The gospel means good news, right? The good news from God is that there will be a Savior to save us from our sins, and His name is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the gospel that we believe in. The source of our salvation, the source of our hope, joy and peace. And look at how God describes this kingdom of Jesus Christ. Verse 33. It says, And he, that's Jesus, will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never end. Think about that. It's talking about eternity, eternal life. That's Jesus' kingdom. And today, if there's anyone who has yet to belong to that kingdom, I hope that you will say yes to Jesus. You just invite Jesus into your heart to be your Savior. So let me ask you, if Jesus is the source of our hope, source of our joy, source of our excitement, energy this Christmas season, what is the hope? Is He really the source of our joy? Is He? I hope so. I hope so. I hope we're celebrating Jesus. I hope we're excited about Jesus and His good news, gospel. Not shopping, Christmas sales, not Christmas parties. You know, those good, boy, those big screen TVs are really cheap right now, you know? Man, Xbox Kinect, man, oh man, wow, this is time to get it. You know, not those things, but Jesus, all right? So number three, Christmas reminds us that God's favor does not eliminate hardship. Christmas reminds us that God's favor does not eliminate hardship. Verse 30, but the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And this is the second time the word favor was used here. I mean, Gabriel really wanted Mary to know that Mary had God's favor in her life. And that's great news, because isn't that what all of us are yearning for? We want to be in God's favor. We want to be people whom God is pleased. God's favor. But we must understand that God's favor does not equate the lack of hardship. Because Mary here, even though she had God's favor in her life, she had to face many difficult challenges. Imagine the angel, Gabriel, coming to Mary and said, Mary, Mary, guess what? Right, 13-year-old Mary here? Mary, Mary, Mary. Hey, Mary, guess what? I got good news for you. I got good news for you. It's good news. You are God's favored one. Imagine that, right? Whoa! Me? Good news, right? You're God's favorite. God's, you have found favor with God, but your fiancé is not going to understand. And the townspeople, they're not going to like it. They will misunderstand. Mary, 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 guess what? You have God's favor upon you, but you're going to deliver your baby in a barn with animals. You know, not over lake, but animals over you. Mary, guess what? I got good news for you, just for you. God's favor is upon you, but your son, Jesus, he's going to grow up and he's going to dedicate his life to God. And you're going to be very lonely, Mary. Mary, guess what? I got God's good news for you. I mean, you can't believe it. God's favor is upon you. But your son whom you love, Jesus, he's going to grow up and people are going to hate him. They're going to mock him. They're going to beat him. They're going to nail him to the cross, and he is going to die before your eyes. Isn't that great news, Mary? Yeah. See? You see what I'm talking about? Just because we have God's favor in our lives does not mean that life will be rosy and all smooth. And today, during this season, you may find it hard to celebrate. You know, everybody's happy and all that, but you got things going on in your life. Some hardship that you're facing. And let me just speak to the Marys here, all right? Those of us who, we believe we're in God's will. We believe we're in God's will, but we're facing some difficult challenges. Let me speak to you. Mary, don't give up. Mary, hang in there. Hang in there. Don't give up. Because in time, you will see. You will see that God is doing something. You don't understand it right now, but in time, you will see. Mary, don't give up. God is orchestrating something. That everything will be beautiful in His time. So let the hope of that overcome the obstacle that you're facing right now. Number four, Christmas reminds us that God awaits us to respond in faith. Christmas reminds us that God awaits us to respond in faith. God came to Mary with a plan, right? God came to Mary with an agenda. And in order for Mary to say yes to God, she had to make a decision. Because Mary, right now, she was living a good life, a kind of a secure, you know, very secure, comfortable life in an obscure village. And but when the angel said, Mary, God has His grace upon you. God, you're God's favored one. But you know what? That's not all, because God has a mission for your life. And Mary had to make a decision. Right? Mary had to make a decision. By the way, that's what it means to be a believer of Jesus Christ, right? A believer of Jesus Christ is somebody who receives God's grace. And most, I believe most of us here know what that means, right? You receive God's grace in your life. God, thank you for salvation. This is great. I don't deserve it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for salvation. But that's only half of the story. See, when we receive God's grace into our lives, the second half of the story is, well, are you going to join Him in His mission? Are you going to, now that you're part of His kingdom, you have to worship Him as King, right? You have to submit to the King. You have to abandon your own agenda and say yes to the King's agenda. There's two parts to it. I think a lot of people get this wrong. They're like, oh, you mean all I have to do is receive Jesus, right? And I get to go to heaven? Yay, I get to do anything I want? And that's why some people, they said, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't accept Jesus right now. Because, you know, maybe I'll receive Jesus when I'm 99 years old, and just before I die, right? So then I could just receive Jesus and go to heaven. Yeah, I'll do that. But see, they don't understand the gospel. See, the gospel is just, it's receiving God's grace in our lives. But second part is embracing God's agenda, embracing God's invitation to join Him in His kingdom work. That's what it means to be a believer. Mary was just about to get married right now. She was just about to establish her own family. She's daydreaming, just like anybody who's about to get married. She's dreaming. She's dreaming about her future. She's dreaming about, you know, a little house on the hill, maybe, I don't know, on the hill with maybe some sheep and cattle, and, you know, just little things, and a baby running around, and you know, just a dream, just, you know, daydreaming and living a very secure and comfortable life, just like all of us want. But all of a sudden, God's angel came to her, showed her God's grace in her life, and also presented God's agenda, God's mission in her life, and she had to make a decision. She had to say no to her agenda and to say yes to God's agenda. But look at how she responded, though. Verse 38. She said, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. What was she saying to God? Okay, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't know how this is going to happen. But yes, Lord, because I am your servant. Because your will is best for me, and I must embrace your will. Mary surrendered to God. Mary responded in faith. And that's what God is looking for, I believe, from us, especially during the Christmas season. He's waiting for us. Jesus, you have my gift. You have the gift of salvation. Jesus, you are celebrating Jesus' birthday. You all have Jesus. But what are you going to do with your life? How are you going to respond to my invitation? How are you going to live that life of faith? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Sometimes we think, well, that's so hard. Humanly speaking, there are many things in our lives that we just don't have enough faith. You know, we just don't see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel. We just don't see how if we're going to live by faith and believing God, He's going to fail us. We're going to get, He's going to let us down. And we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to trust in something that we don't really believe. But listen to what Gabriel said to Mary to strengthen her faith. Look at this. Verse 36. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. Verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. See, you know the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias. They're Mary's relative here. And they're very, very, very old, past the year of the age of childbearing. Plus, they were barren. They could not have child. They could not conceive. And everybody knew about them. And here, Gabriel said, you know your relative. Oh, by the way, Elizabeth has been pregnant for 6 months, but Mary did not know, all right? They did not have email back then, right? So they did not just like immediately mass email to everybody. No, Mary did not know. So Gabriel brought this news announcement that, you know what? Your relative, Elizabeth, she is in her 6 months. Even though everybody thought that she's barren, and they still think that she is barren, but guess what? She is 6 months pregnant. 6 months pregnant. Why? And the key phrase here is, for nothing is impossible with God. The humanly impossible, there's no way. But for nothing is impossible with God. God has a promise. God came to Elizabeth that it will be done, and it will be done. It will be done. God wants us to believe that. Nothing. If it's God's will, it will be done no matter what. No matter what. You know, you're really struggling. You're working hard, but you're struggling at school with your grades. And, you know, people, your teacher said, or maybe a friend, a so-called friend, or even a parent says, you know what? You are a loser. You never amount to anything. You're going to be like this for the rest of your life. You're not going to do anything great. And what do you say? You're right. Right? No, you know, you say, uh-uh. Nothing is impossible with God, right? Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. Satan, your enemy tells you, right, you're experiencing difficulties. It's a broken relationship in your life. Some of us married, you know what it means to really struggle in marriage, and you just feel like there's nothing we can do to resolve our differences. Your enemy's coming to you and says, you know, just give up. He is not going to change. You're not going to change. Your marriage is just going to be like this. Just realize that nothing. This one we say, no. Nothing is impossible with God. You have a family member, maybe a grandparent, maybe a parent, right? Somebody, a relative who's not a believer. And you've been praying that they would receive God's salvation. But you know how it is. You know how hard that is for somebody to receive Jesus. And you're like, there's no way so-and-so. There's no way grandma would ever receive Jesus. No way. The enemy wants you to believe that. But that's when you need to be reminded. No. Nothing is impossible with God. The test results come back. The doctor said, this doesn't look good. This doesn't look good. Seems like you will never get better. In fact, you will just get worse from now on. And this is when you say, no. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. If God wants it done, if it's God's will, it will come to pass. Nothing is impossible with God. See, that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. We belong to Him. And God wants us to live as people of faith. Let me ask you, are you living the life of faith in your decision making, in everything that you do? Are you living that life of faith, the life of obedience, the life of surrender, knowing that God's will is greater, better than your will? What does it mean? What does that life of faith look like in your life? Today, if you were to just throw away all fears, fear of the future, fear of rejection, all those fears, human impossibilities, just throw away those things. What would that life, your life, look like, the life of faith? You know, that's what God wants you to live. Live like that, the life of faith. Maybe for some of us, it's a relationship. You're in some kind of relationship that where God, Jesus Christ, is not in the center of this relationship. You're not living by faith. You're not living by faith. Maybe God wants you to say, you know what? I need to just surrender this relationship at the foot of the cross. Maybe for some people, you have a broken relationship. You need to mend a strained relationship. Maybe that life of faith means for you to reconcile and says, you know what? I know that God doesn't like it when we are like this. When we're like, God doesn't like it, and this is not pleasing to God, and we must reconcile. We must make up. We must make peace. Maybe for some of us, it is to say no to a temptation. You've been struggling with this temptation for so long, for so many years, and it's just dominating you. Maybe struggling with impurity, temptation, and you're like, nothing's going to change. But maybe it's like the life of faith means for you to say, hey, I need to talk to Pastor Walt about this. I need to talk to so-and-so about this. I need to just get it out in the open, because Satan wants us to live in the dark. Nobody knows. Yeah, you keep doing it because nobody will ever know. But that's where Satan wants us to be. He wants us to struggle on our own. But the life of faith means no more. No more darkness in my life. I want to live in the light. I want to come out. I want to confess my sins. I want to just share with someone that, you know what? I've been struggling with this issue for many, many years. And I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. Can you keep me accountable? Can you pray for me? I want to come out of light. And when we do that, what happens? Satan has us in his hands like this, right? Some of us, you're struggling with temptation. You know what it means for Satan to have a foothold in your life. It's so powerful. It's so dominating. But when we start to confess our sins to one another, God says, I will heal you. You will be healed. Confess your sins to one another. What happens is that we confess our sins, we come to the light, we're loosening the grip of Satan in our lives. See, that is the life of faith. Maybe for some of us, it just means, okay, I believe in Jesus. I know this is good for me. I just need to get baptized. I just need to follow Jesus' command and his example, and just be baptized and profess to the world that I belong. I believe in Jesus. For some of us, we're not even actively involved in God's church. God says, you cannot do this by yourself. The Christian faith is the faith of a community of believers gathering together in his name. And it's through that community we grow closer to God. We be who God wants us to be. For some of us, we're not even committed to the community of God. We're not even committed to church going, fellowship attending, giving to the church. We're not. We're just not. That's not a life of faith. Maybe you need to say, God, yes, I'm going to say yes to you. The life of faith means I commit to you by committing to the body, your body, which is the church. Some of us need to do that. May we follow Mary's example of faith. Because after all, we are all servants, right? We're all God's servants. And we are here to do God's will. And may we say this Christmas, as we celebrate this meaningful season, let's say, Jesus, yes, I'm going to say yes to you. Not my will. Not my will. But your will be done in my life. May we live the life of faith. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Mary, for Mary setting such a good example of faith for us. Lord Jesus, help us not to fool ourselves in thinking that just because we come to church, just because we go to youth group, just because we know the Bible, that means you are pleased with us. Lord, today we're reminded, Lord, that you are waiting for us. You're waiting for us to respond in faith, to live that life of faith that you have called us to live, the life of obedience, the life of surrendering. Would you help us to do that, Lord? Help us to walk out of this place with the determination and the conviction that, Lord, we're going to live a new life, the life of faith. May you, Lord, your Spirit, work in our hearts. Help us not just to be hearers of your word, but be doers of the word. Help us to live in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.